Now, dear God, we thank you, and thank you again in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus, that you have brought that love to us. Now, it is real, and it's the most real thing that there's ever been or that there ever will be. God, help us to yield to that love. Help us to immerse ourselves into that love. Now, God, we just ask that you would pour it out today. We know that you will. We know that you're able to do it. Help us to receive the wonderful beauty of your love this morning. May your Spirit anoint. May we rejoice in the Lord. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, last week, God had opened up to us the thought of the vessel. And we ventured into the first wondrous promise of that vessel. And that was the aspect of the pouring in. God pouring in His wondrous life and truth and love into this vessel. And we understand that when by grace, and it's all by grace, when we present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, He withholds nothing good. He withholds nothing good for us. And He pours forth His Spirit into our life. And today, this is kind of part two of this part three series about this vessel. And today we're going to speak on the sustaining or the holding of the contents that are poured into this vessel. And I have to admit to you, I really do believe that this is the most trying. This is the most trying of all of the characteristics of the vessel. Sure, we have the pouring in and we have the pouring out, which by the grace of God we'll celebrate in next week if He tarry. But the sustaining, brothers and sisters, I truly do believe can be the most trying time. Because this is the time of be still and know that I am God. And it is a difficult thing at times, brothers and sisters, to wait upon the Lord. Did you hear me? I hope you did. And I hope you can hear yourself in that before the Lord and being honest. Yes, Lord, it is a difficult time to wait upon you. But oh, what a glorious time it is. Because it truly is the journey to His best as we wait upon the Lord. And if we really think about this vessel, sure, there's times of pouring in and pouring out, but the overwhelming majority of the time, a vessel just holds the contents. It does. You think about maybe your breakfast this morning, whether it's the milk that's still sitting in the refrigerator or the juice. For one moment, it was poured out today, but it's sitting there. And it's sitting there with the contents. And it's in that thought, I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. That's Luke chapter 5, and let's start reading from the 37th verse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Now, I thank the Lord, and I think how precious that God brings so much truth in all of His Word. It is truth, but especially in these wineskins. The new wine, it's the best wine. It is the best wine. No, you know, that's so opposite again from this world. We think that, I guess, the best wine is the old wine, but not this wine. The best wine is the new wine because it speaks of the gospel of Christ. It speaks of the gospel in the fullness of its power. The Word in us with the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. And you see as we read this verse or these verses here, that the new wine cannot be poured into old skins. Now what is this old skin talking about? It's talking about our old man, our old nature, our old creation. It cannot be poured into that. It has to be new. This wine is expansive wine. This wine, when you get it into your life, I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, if we'll receive it in the new creation of which we are as children of the King, you'll expand. You'll grow. You'll inflate by the grace of God in Him. And it can't be that old bottle. It can't be that old skin because that old skin cannot bear this new wine without bursting. And praise be to God, brothers and sisters, this is exactly what God has brought us in the new creation. We have to realize that we have been made like Him in His life. And praise God, His life is in me, and His Spirit life, brothers and sisters, is this vessel. I'm thanking God more and more every day as I rejoiced with the sister this morning. I think the greatest thing that God is continuing to show me, that I'm continuing to believe more and more, I am the new creation. It's within me. It's living in me. It's my life. Praise God. It's on Him. Everything I am, everything I hope to be, it's in my Lord. Praise God. It's His doing. When He said, Jesse, I am the potter, and you are my workmanship, He meant it. He meant it. Very God of very God is molding your life. Very God of very God is the one that is making you, if we're yielding to Him, if we'll allow it to happen, He's making you after His very will. Isn't that precious? Doesn't that mean something to you? I pray it does. I believe it does. So then how could we ever begin to think that there is something that I could bring in there? Something of my own that I could bring that wouldn't just disturb God's perfect work. Do you see the grace of God? Do you see, again, His marvelous ability in everything that even gives you the faith, that gives you the faith at this moment to sit here and rejoice in this truth? It's God in you. It's the Lord in you. It's His very grace that has given you the wonderful potential to believe this wonderful Word of God. So again, we can see in here that there's a perfect illustration going on. And the illustration that God is giving us is there's nothing more desirable to God than for His children to expand and grow in spirit. He wants you to grow up. As we see there in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is that? Ephesians 4:15, where He says, speaking truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things. And again, I think of these different ones that are preaching. Well, God wants you to live a perfect life. He wants you to become sinless. We talked about that last week. When are we going to get over that? That was taken care of 2,000 some years ago upon a cross, and it's in that blood, and it's gone. I am set free. I am made free. I am as free can be. In His blood, it covers my life. I am free from sin and death. God's will is not that. God knew that I couldn't even do that. There is no way that I had the ability in ever to live a sinless life. But He took care of it upon that cross. That is finished. The will of God is not for me to run around and try to be as good as I can be. The will of God is that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. The love letters that these wonderful sisters sang about. That's the knowledge of the truth. This is all about love. This is all about opportunity. This is all about freedom. This is all about peace. This is all about rest. That's what God wants you to enter into. And yes, we are in a battle because everything of this world, because there's a prince and a power of this world, and it's Satan at this time. Know your Bible. There's a purpose for it. It is game on. And the game on is, it's the greatest journey that will ever be before us, and that's to win Christ. To finish this with joy. And you look at this old world right now, and you could think of any baby coming into this world in the natural. How could you ever think that this course could be finished with joy? Look at what we face. Look at what we face. War and rumor of war is everywhere. The evil of man is waxing worse and worse. Don't you think it's getting any better? Because it's not. And I'm not a pessimist. I'm the most optimistic person I think I have ever met, because I believe God at His Word. And He told me, when these things start coming to pass, look up. Son, what you've been believing, it's here. You know, everything was prepared when Jesus Christ came. Everything. All the signs were there. Everything was made perfect. And yet, what were they doing? They knew it. They were prophesied. They were prophesied to for how many thousands of years, that the Messiah was coming. And the signs were there. But what were they doing? He had to be born in a manger because nobody was looking. Do you see it? He gave us this type. He's the lover of your soul, and He's just saying, wake up. Be looking. I sent my Son then. Oh, yes, I did. I believe everybody here believes and knows that Jesus came and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And He died upon that cross. But let me tell you something. He's coming again. And the signs are here. It's all about us. Don't despair. Don't grow weary. I'm telling you, don't grow weary. Today's a wonderful message. I do want to jump to the pouring out. The Lord's having to bring me back. Because when He pours it out, it's poured out in many ways. Don't give up hope. It's about time. It's about time. There's purpose, brothers and sisters. There's a perfect trying of our faith. There's a perfect time that's been allotted for us to receive this wonderful Word. Let it soak in deep. Take it in, the new creation. That's the only way you're ever going to take it. The life that He's given you. Believe in Him. That's believe. It's not believing in yourself. It's believing in the life that He has given me. And that's Him. That's His life. I can trust that. I can have confidence in that. I can believe that, Lord, You are the sustainer. You are the one that sustains the contents of what You're putting in my life. But brothers and sisters, it is all about growth, grace and knowledge, truth and love, the mature sons of God. Notice every single one of those aspects, praise the Lord, all given to us in the very fullest by one thing, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We're never going to get away from that truth. Again, I don't know why I've been bombarded by so many things lately. But I was listening to a brother the other day again speaking about, oh, don't let these ones just tell you about Pentecost. There were others filled with the Holy Ghost before that. Sure, I know my Word of God. I understand that. But they were filled for a purpose of prophecy. And they were filled for purposes of prophecy from the very beginning in different ways. But there was an infilling at the day of Pentecost that set something new out there. And it said it knew that we could grow and know and be led into all truth. It changed that day. He's been with you, and He shall be in you, the very power of my might. Now, do you see what this new creation can receive? I'm telling you, it's exciting. It is so absolutely mighty. Oh God, just keep us on where we need to be. May the love of Christ constrain us. But brothers and sisters, whether it is being led into all truth, it's the Holy Spirit. Whether it's having the love of God shed abroad in my life, in your life, it's the Holy Spirit. It's got to be by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that takes the things of Christ and He's making them yours, and He's making them mine, and He's making them mine more every single day. All those spiritual blessings in the heavens. Yes, He's blessed me with all of those, but it's the sweet Holy Ghost that keeps revealing them to me. Son, here's how magnificent they are. This is the one that I've been with the Father. This is the one from the very beginning that we sat there and we said, yes, it's all going to be in this sweet Son. And He's thrilled with that Son. The Godhead is thrilled with that Son, that in Him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. And that's who has been given to me. We have to embrace this. This is something that has to be known and lived and loved. Yes, this is high calling time. People say, I come to that church, it's intense. It is intense. He's an intense lover. I don't like nonchalant. I don't know about you. Yeah, sometimes I try to get away. He gets awful intense sometimes, how He loves on you. Sometimes allows your job to go away. Sometimes you have to say so long to people that you love awfully much. Sometimes He separates you from people that you really have an affinity to be around. But He's a lover. I really don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. It's just too much. And it has to be Him. And it has to be a new skin, because I'm telling you, it just feels like it's going to burst every moment. Lord, I can't contain it. But He does. And He's willing to do it. He wants me to be expansive in Him. He wants me to go on. He wants me to live this new wine life. I was thinking about this new wine life. Isn't it sweet to drink of that? And I have to tell you, I think about people that have such trouble with alcohol in this world. Start drinking the new wine life. You'll never want to drink from that stuff again. Oh, if you drink of it and God's given you the liberty for it and it's in moderation, I praise God for it. I do. But I'm going to tell you, you get this new wine life in your system, you'll never want anything else. You'll never want anything else. You'll never thirst again for anything else. It goes with every food, doesn't it? It makes everything sweeter. Oh, yeah. You know how they tell you, oh, well, this will bring out the flavor. Let me tell you something. This will bring out flavors in your life like you have never experienced. It'll bring out sweetness in things that you never knew were there. You're supping with God when you sup with this. When are we going to get away from that limited old man? How finite he is. I love expansive. I love abounding. And even when it's be still and know that I am God, let me tell you something, that's the most abounding time of your whole life. It is. We need faith to believe it. The backside of a desert, let me tell you something. That's where you're going to learn how to lead a nation out of there. Most importantly, that's how you're going to learn how to look up and He's going to take you out of here. It only comes then. This is a life that we have to know the very sufferings of Christ if we're going to reign with Him. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. What He says is true. We try to receive the things of God. I see so many. They try to put them up here. Vessel bursts. Don't last. I see people try to wield the power of this word. Without love, your vessel's going to burst. But see, praise be to God, we read last week in Romans 9:23 that I'm a vessel that's prepared afore unto glory. It's already been done. It's already been prepared. It's completely and fully able to receive the Word of God and to expand with the Word of God. And I think, oh my, Lord, help me to believe You. Lord, help me to rid myself of that self. Did you hear that? You're drifting off. We're going to talk about self for a moment. Because self is what always will hold you back. Self is the one and the only one that will ever defeat you. And that's the truth. But if we will rid our life of self by the grace of God and get in faith and get into Him and realize in Christ who I am, what I am, and more importantly, what He has called me to be, let the expanding begin. Isn't it wonderful? You're going to watch me transform right before your eyes. And I'm watching you too, by the grace of God, with the eyes of love. I just want to see you expand. Oh, and it's a marvelous thing. Oh, yes. From the good to the acceptable to even the very perfect will of God. Oh, I'm so sorry that brother didn't know that promise. But you know what? I can't worry about him. And I can't worry about you. See, you're in God's keeping. But again, we're going to go back and again, by His grace, I'm going to tell you every single time as He tells me, believe Him at His Word. Believe God at His Word. You do not need to live a life of defeat. You do not need to live the life of despair. You do not need to live the life of, oh, poor, woe is me. You don't. You're neglecting so great salvation. He has saved you to the uttermost. The uttermost. It's exceeding abundantly beyond all that I could ever ask or think. I believe He's getting us there. Could you imagine a vessel that might be so prepared and readied and full in every way and grown that it actually fits a wedding garment someday? Got to expand. Got to expand. Praise God. But see, there's nothing like growing in grace. There is nothing sweeter, brothers and sisters, I don't believe, than going from glory to glory to glory to glory. But you know what? I've never seen a glory that was ever achieved or attained that didn't come with much suffering. It's true. You'll never have a glory if you don't go through the suffering. It's got to happen. It's the way of the Word of God. It has to be that way. If we're going to reign with Him, we're going to suffer with Him. He said that you would jointly reign, if so be that we'll suffer together with Him. But there's a reason for that, that we might also be glorified together with Him. And what a glory that'll be. And we know that. But again, that's just all in His love. Lord, I so thank You for what You're telling me that I'll have someday. And I'm not making any short of it or making a little light of it, because that's a glorious light. But all I want to do is love You. And all I want to do is love You more. And all I want to do is be with You. And all I want to do is to be the closest thing that ever could be with You. And it just so happens, it happens to be in the very midst of a throne. Oh, all His benefits toward me. And you think that you've got to be looking at something on this earth? Shame on us. Really, shame on us. Oh, God, help our unbelief. All right now. Now, stretching's not easy. It's not easy to stretch. Even for limber ones. Even in the natural. I was thinking again, growing up, And he's had me on this sports thing a little bit, but I love sports, love to play sports, and I love to be the little athlete that God had allowed me to be. And I always remember all the different coaches that I had. If I had a coach that was ever worth his weight in anything, and you too know this, if they were really good coaches, there was one thing that was similar in every single one of them. No matter what sport they were coaching, they'd tell you to stretch. They'd tell you to stretch before the practice. They'd tell you to stretch after the practice. They'd tell you to stretch at home during the off season and all of that. And I never really understood, but as I got older, I understood that it makes that muscle longer. It makes that muscle more elastic. It allows that muscle to become stronger, to run faster, all of those different things. But you know what? I'm around kids today and so few ever do it. So few ever want the discipline put in their life. It's boring. I can't see the effects right away. How about maybe it's too painful? See how stretching is so absolutely contrary in a sense to our nature? We want immediate results. We want excitement. We want the easy way. And God forbid if we ever had to experience any pain. Think of what the world comes at you with. Everything is easy and 30 seconds and 7 days and 20 minutes. And how about I sell something to you? It's a lifetime. How's that going to go over, huh? Only in the love of God are you going to accept that. This is the greatest race of all time. This is the greatest moment of your life of all time because you're in it. You're in it. And without this stretching, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, we're going to miss it. The stretching allows us to be pliable to God. The stretching allows us the ability to possess more of His faith and truth and grace and love. I was thinking about the godly body in a sense that He gives us, His spirit man within us. We all have muscles of faith. We do. Babies have muscles. They're not very developed, though, are they? We have muscles of faith. And they need to be conditioned. They need to be trained. And most importantly, they need to be stretched. They need to be stretched because they need to be strengthened and enhanced so we can run well. So we can run further. So that we can run stronger. That we can run, in a sense, better. But that's not it. Not only the muscles, but the determination. You think about determination. Great athletes and champions have two qualities. Yes, they have wonderfully developed bodies, but they have a determined mind. And that's the love of God. And we need the love of God so developed in our life, so mature in our life, that we understand what this race is all about. That there is a vision out there. Because without a vision, brothers and sisters, I don't care how much faith in a sense you think you have. Without a vision, the people perish. And I want a love by the grace of God that's unfeigned, that's undeterred. That a love that no matter the cost, by the grace of God, I love you so much, Lord, because of your love for me, that I'm going on. And I'm pressing on. And I'm pressing on toward a mark of a high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. Because by your grace, you have given me a readied body. You have given me a determined mind. And I'm going to tell you, those two together are the characteristics of a champion. And God is about a champion. There's a winner. And Christ, my prize, is the reward. And it's real. It is oh so real. And I'm so thankful that over and over in this Word of God, He gives us this reality. But to close this out, brothers and sisters, do we have the willingness? Really, do we have the willingness? The willingness to stand in it. The willingness to stand for it. Because there's a choice. And the choice today is, brothers and sisters, we are either expanding in the Lord or you're contracting. You're either growing in grace and knowledge or you're decreasing. There's no two ways about it. You don't sit on the fence with God. People always talk about sitting on the fence. You're not sitting on the fence. You're either moving toward Him or you're moving away. You're either going after the very fullness of God or you're allowing all this goodness to spill out of your life that He's been pouring in over all these years. I know it because I've been there. I'm telling you. God's got to bring these things into our life before they can be brought out. This is real. And I know it's real because God deals with me about this. Because I'm His workmanship as well as you. But here's the choice. Are we going to put off the old man? Are we going to put off that old vessel? You think about it. I'm going to ask each and every one of you here today. And I don't know what it might be. But how long are you going to allow the enemy to keep you in that cycle? How long are you going to be bound by the chains that the enemy has put in your life? And you know what I'm talking about. You have gone to church week after week, maybe even year after year. Maybe you have sat here for years. But there's parts of your life that you'll go home today and you'll say, oh, that wretched man. It's still there. Don't you think it's about time to put off the old man? Don't you think it's about time to, that God make the change in your life? Don't you think it's about time that we realize that that old man was dealt with and defeated upon that cross some 2,000 years ago? Why does He tell us about this old vessel? Why does He warn us about that? You know, I'm thanking God every day. I'm thanking Him every day. I was saved at about 4 or 5. Filled with the Holy Spirit, about 12, 17 years old, the Lord came to me and said, do you want to marry me? But it wasn't till about 11 years ago, I allowed the new skin to dwell in my life. It came to dwell. It was an exciting time. It was a realization. I went to the enemy and I told him, I'm not going to believe your lies anymore. I'm going to quit listening to them. I'm done with that. By the grace of God, this new life that's dwelling in me, I know about it. It's been there all the time, but now I'm embracing it. I'm living who and what I am. I'm rejoicing in the new life that Christ Jesus has brought to me. I'm rejoicing in the power of the very God, a very God that's there, that is my warfare. Hallelujah. He's there. It's exciting. I'm living new creation. All the goodness that was poured out all those years that seemed to seem to get away because I had a leaky vessel. That's not God's vessel that was leaky. His vessels never leak. They just don't. Amen. It's how am I receiving it? He's the sustainer. You have that vessel today. You have the very power by the grace of God to rely upon that vessel. That what He puts in there will expand and grow. I thought about it. And really what it was, brothers and sisters, was today is the day of salvation. I want to wake up every day and understand today is the day of salvation. I wasn't just saved when I was 5. Yes, that salvation of my heaven destination, it was determined at that moment. Absolutely. And it was never to be compromised. But I'm talking about the saving power of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That saves me every single moment of this day from myself. He saves me from my unbelief. He's got it there all the time. I'm sitting there and just enjoying the Lord. And I'm saying, praise God by faith. I'm living who I am. I say, praise God by faith. This is real and I am new creation. I'm saying, praise God by faith. He's withholding His word in me. I'm saying, praise God by faith. He's living and expanding in me. I'm finding out who I am. I'm finding out I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's who I am. That's who you are. You want to know what life's about? You want to know who you are? You need to go find yourself. Find it in Galatians 2:20. It's right there. If He just gave us that verse alone, we would be without excuse. And I say, Lord, pour it in. And by the grace of God, Lord, let it just dwell within. Because I'm finding out that that is the vessel. He's the vessel that holds that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's on Him. Isn't that marvelous? It's Him. Christ in me. That's the vessel. Christ in me. And that's the only hope I've ever got for glory. And it is the hope of glory. Let's pray. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, glory to God. Oh,
God, I shall know, not going to say, know that your Lord loves you. Know that He has saved you. He has saved you all. He didn't put you on a fence when He saved you, but He wants to put you on a throne. That throne next to His Son, Jesus Christ, at the right hand of Jesus, as Jesus sits at the right hand of God and said in glory, glory to God, if you'll just take hold of His word. Thank you, Jesus. Believe. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Now, dear God, we thank You. Why every head is bowed this morning. And we are bowing down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank You again what You're doing. We thank You again for such great grace. Lord, there's such simplicity in believing You, and help us to find it. That Your yoke truly is easy. It is easy. God, help us, as You said, cast Thy burdens upon You. You are the sustainer, and I'm so thankful that You sustain us. And You will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Help us to see the righteousness that we are in You. We are righteous in You. We are holy in You. Help us to embrace that wondrous promise and hope. And Lord, as we look for that day when Ye shall appear, let us be ready. Oh, help us to be ready. Don't let us miss that moment of the greatest of salvation, saving us even from that tribulation that will come upon this earth. Oh, what a day that'll be. And Lord, may we just live, truly live, as Brother Paul, to the hope of that appearing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.